Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, she's all you'd ever want. She's the kind I'd like to flaunt and take to dinner. But she always knows her place. She's got style, she's got grace. She's a winner. She's a lady.
So I want to wish everybody a big hello and Merry Christmas. And welcome to Mar-a-Lago for this exciting announcement of the new Golden Fleet. We're calling it the Golden Fleet that we're building for the United States Navy. As you know, we're desperately in need of ships. Our ships are, some of them have gotten old and tired and obsolete, and we're going to go the exact opposite direction.
And to fix that, we're going to build our ships out of gold. It's going to be amazing. We're going to actually turn Fort Knox into ships. We've already got the metal. It's going to be the lightest, fastest, bestest gold ever. You can't even, you know, use a metal detector. The anti-ship mines don't even work on gold. That's why we're going to do it. You say, well, that's absurd, Andrew. Well, you know, fair is fair. He's going to make an absurd announcement. I'm going to treat it absurdly.
As Commander-in-Chief, it's my great honor to announce that I have approved a plan for the Navy to begin the construction of two brand-new, very large, largest we've ever built, battleships.
Oh, thank God. Finally. Finally.
I was
worried. After all of these years of distributed attack capability across different platforms, decentralized, use of projected power with aircraft carriers and the like, finally a return to 80-year-ago technology. That's fantastic naval doctrine, sir.
You know, you used to build the Iowa, the Missouri, the Wisconsin, the Alabama, many others. We had big battleships. These are bigger. But they will have 100 times the, there'll be 100 times the force, the power, and there's never been anything like these ships.
What does that even mean? What does 100 times what mean? They're not going to be 100 times larger, longer, faster, or maybe all of that. 100 times cheaper.
Shinier.
100 times more fiberglass. I mean, what are they going to be? The power of the payload is going to be... Stop. I mean, there's no, it's not 94 times. It's not 116 times. There's no science here. This is just made up numbers. 100 sounds bigger than 50, so he says 100. That's it. This is pure smoke. 100% pure smoke. There's no substance here. I've been working on this for a long time. You know, why don't we build them? Well, maybe because we have recognized that, you know, battleships aren't the solution for any of our naval needs at all. Because, I mean, do you think the Navy would have been shy if they had thought battleships would be the answer? No, you would think battleships are the answer because you have a picture of American military power that depends on image and projection and branding. And having a golden fleet as opposed to, I don't know, a gray fleet, you know, sounds awesome to you. That's all this is. This is just this is a pure PR stunt. Find me the rigorous analysis that demonstrates that what we need is new battleships. Find me any serious commentator that looks at this and thinks, oh, man, no, this is fantastic. Absolutely. That's what we've got to have. No, it doesn't make any sense. And on top of that, he throws this in.
But including we've been building aircraft carriers. We're going to be upping that also. We're going to be going to a superior aircraft. We have the Ford class. We're going to be upping that to a different class of aircraft carrier. And
so we're going to not just build new battleships. Remember, we can't figure out how to build a frigate on a successful platform that already exists. We had to cancel the Constellation class because the Navy procurement is broken. There's no other way to describe it. It's broken. The Ford is great. We just rolled out the Ford, and you're going to start building a whole new aircraft carrier class. Oh, my God. It's just, I mean, there's a part of me that when I see Trump news, I just want to ignore it because it's so silly most of the time. Some of it's very good. And again, I voted for him 3 times. And over Kamala Harris, I'd still vote for him again. You give me that choice, I still make that choice. But some of the things that he says are just, I mean, it's pure absurdity. This is crazy talk. Like, this is not for serious. What's the cost? What's the capability? What's the need the Navy keeps bringing to you? Well, John Phelan, you know, with all of his vast military experience. You know, come on. No, you want this because you think it looks cool. You think it sounds cool. You think it's exciting to announce a new thing that we're going to do when you don't even know the history of the field at all, even a little. John Pickens, that's traffic on the fives. We'll come back to this.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Traffic is cleared up on Blue Angel Parkway, so good news on that. I-10, I-110, everything else is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
For instance, are big battleships a great idea?
Each one of these will be the largest battleship in the history of our country, the largest battleship in the history of the world ever built. And again, it's 100 times more powerful than the previous Iowa class, it's called. Those are the big ones that you'd see on a show. Victory at Sea. I don't know if anyone's seen Victory at Sea, but it was a classic.
So, what, he watched the movie? And now he's an expert on naval history? By the way, the biggest ever, that's not true. The biggest ever was not the Iowa class. The Yamato and Musashi were about 50%. It depends on the numbers, okay? But somewhere in that vicinity, 72,000 tons. These enormous warships that Japan built. And that was the end of the battleship era. You know why? Because we sank them with naval aircraft. Because that was the future. And we stopped building battleships. There was a brief time in the late 80s, 90s, that vicinity, where we kind of tried to do a little bit with the battleship, and when we abandoned it right away. Because it's not helpful. It doesn't do anything we need done. By the way, our ability to build ships is terrible right now. Well, this will reinvent. Really? A brand new, unneeded, super expensive, throw all the bells and whistles in there that you can think of to name. That's our answer to our inability to field good ships? I mean, the Constellation class got canceled. The LCSs were a total debacle. And the Zumwalt class, which is, you know, destroyers are a little bit smaller than battleships, but the Zumwalt class, I mean, we built three and quit. Why? Because terrible. But Trump thinks he knows what's great about everything. There's not a single thing he doesn't know everything about. And that's the problem. He thinks he knows. He doesn't even know why we okay, we're going to build 20 to 25 of them. We're going to do it really fast, faster than fast. Also more expensive, because when you do fast, it's more expensive. That's the trade-off. Better than ever. What are you talking about?
America's battleships have always been unmistakable symbols of national power. We stopped making them for whatever reason. I don't know.
That's the problem. You don't know. You don't know why we stopped building them. And there are good reasons why we stopped building them and why nobody's building them. Because it's a giant sitting target. And if you put all of your firepower on one platform, then you have to spend all of your time defending that platform. How does that platform defend itself? With lasers. Okay, stop. I mean, just stop. But, you know, at least an aircraft carrier can deploy self-defense. But it's also surrounded by a bunch of ships. And a battleship would need all of that. So now you're going to have to invest more in protecting the thing, the giant sitting target. The reason we distribute attack capability across different platforms is because that gives us more decentralization in the firepower. Like the Arleigh Burke class, where we have about 100 of those, I think, something like that. That's a great ship. Build those. Build what works instead of, you know, I heard about a weapon system. Let's put that on this imaginary unicorn of a vessel that he wants to build, the Trump class, which also don't name them after yourself. That's absurd.
The battleships are going to be armed just in terms of guns and missiles at the highest level. They'll also have hypersonic weapons, many hypersonic weapons, state-of-the-art electric rail guns, and even the high-powered lasers that you've been starting to read about. We have lasers where you aim the laser at a target and it just wipes it out. We're going to have, they'll be the most sophisticated lasers in the world, and the most sophisticated laser in the world will be on the battleships that we're building.
We don't have hypersonics. We don't have rail guns. We barely have lasers. I mean, we do have lasers to some degree. But what's the range? I mean, the range, if you could deploy it, if we actually had it, the range of a hypersonic would be you know, 100 miles, maybe 200 miles. Railgun, 100 miles, maybe. What's the range of a laser?
I don't know.
What's the curvature of the Earth so that you can shoot in a straight line at a certain height against an enemy target? You know, maybe 20 miles. It just doesn't even make any sense. Oh, and he's going to put nukes on there. You know, we actually got rid of the nukes. We had, you know, nuclear-capable cruise missiles. We got rid of them, rightly so, because the theory was that it's too provocative, it's too uncertain, it's more likely to lead, one concern is that it's more likely to lead to small-scale nuclear use and small-scale nuclear retaliation. We don't want that. We want large-scale nuclear retaliation to discourage any nuclear use, because if the enemy thinks they can shoot a little, then we'll shoot a little, and then everything will be okay. You don't want that. You want massive retaliation to be your primary form of deterrence when you have smaller capability that actually weakens your deterrent threat. I mean, there's so much. The people in the military are not dumb. But they have a boss who is, I mean, this is a giant act of nonsense. What did one person said? It was the Navy is promising to give the child king his shiny toy. I mean, there's no world in which this makes any sense. Oh, and we're going to do it faster. We're going to do it cheaper. We're going to do it better. He's going to take over the economies of all of these shipbuilding capabilities. Yeah, I mean, I would love to be able to go on the radio and be like, oh, yeah. Build battleships. That's cool. It's going to enhance shipbuilding. We can't build almost anything right now, and we're just going to suddenly splash a brand new program that's unfunded to what, the $8 or $9 billion a piece? You can get three very highly functional Arleigh Burke class destroyers for that. And what is the mission this accomplishes? To hear him talk about it, the mission is to look strong, you know, to look cool, to, you know, be capable. Or something, with 100 times, whatever that 100 times. It's just, all right, 437-1620.
Andrew, yes, you forgot about the great white sharks with lasers.
Oh, I did say earlier we should do this. Since we're putting non-existent railguns and non-existent hypersonics and barely existent lasers and guns and missiles and all, what would be your thing to add? You know, think of it like a Lego toy. You can add any weapon onto it you like because it's all modular. What toy would you like to add to the battleship? Shark lasers?
Great white. I want them
torpedoes.
To train.
Torpedoes?
Yeah, the great whites.
I mean, what else would you have?
Dolphins pressing
oh
buttons.
Oh, my God. 437-1620. Yeah. I'm Andrew McKay.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
The Florida Bright Futures Scholarship isn't just about covering tuition. It can help you pursue your dreams at any Florida State University, community college, or eligible trade school. Whether you want to become a teacher, study engineering, learn a skilled trade, or start your own business, Bright Futures can help you achieve your goals. The best part? It's funded by the Florida Lottery, so when people play, students win. Visit FloridaBrightFutures.gov to learn more about your options, check your eligibility, and start your application. Your bright future starts here.
This message is brought to you by the Florida Lottery and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app.
Gee, your hair smells terrific.
You know, that's actually a great name for a product. Gee, your hair smells terrific is fantastic branding, because just saying the name is saying the feature, right?
Oh.
Do you remember that?
That is, yes.
Yeah, that was old. That's old. Somebody had mentioned that to me. That, Andrew, you know a drop you ought to get? A sound drop you ought to get. And so I found that one, and I'll make somebody happy with that. 725 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Okay, I do. Yes, I do. Let's see here. No accidents to let you know about right now. Looks like I-10, I-110, 90-98 are all flowing smoothly. John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Somebody said, we were talking earlier about how to get happiness, you know, and making happiness in New Year's resolution. I said, happiness is a byproduct, not a goal. Somebody said, happiness is when you agree with your morning show talk host. somebody else texted, the Pensacola Morning News, 100 times better than any other time.
Well, look at that.
Oh, it's science. Don't argue. Let's see. lay off Trump. He's just distracting with, yes, I know. It's absurd. It's ridiculous. It's, and I'll say it again. I would still vote for him over Kamala Harris.
Count to two.
Oh, man. You know, his, one of his operational methods, modus operandi, one of his goals is to be the subject of every conversation, right? He wants you to be talking about him all the time. That's why he does a lot of this stuff. And if that were all it was, it'd be fine, I suppose. It'd be one thing. But, you know, some of this stuff actually has consequences. You know, naval procurement policy is actually kind of an important thing for fighting an enemy who is gaining and ahead of us in numerical strength already. And knows how to build ships. by the way, the story of the Constellation class is fascinating. Like, we had a European platform that we were going to use because we hadn't been successful at building our own ships, so we're going to use one that already worked well, and then we loaded so much crap into it that we ruined it and made it unfunctional, and that's why we had to cancel the entire project. Like, that's really bad. Anyway, let's see. Steve Taylor is in for David Wayne this week. Steve?
Well, teams from the Federal Aviation Administration and the NTSB are in New Jersey today. They're investigating a mid-air collision between two helicopters. One pilot is dead. The other's in critical condition. Officials say they were the only ones on board each helicopter. A shooter's on the loose after an early Sunday morning incident in downtown Fort Lauderdale that sent five people to the hospital. Police say they believe the shooting was an isolated incident, and there's no threat to the public. No word on the conditions of the victim at this time. 2026 is right around the corner, in case you didn't notice. And Consumer Insights from Numerator says more than 60% of all consumers are planning some sort of a celebration, with over half gathering with friends. 30% are also cooking at home. Nearly 40% are expected to spend more than $100 on New Year's Eve.
What did Denominator say?
Denominator? Numerator.
Oh, boy. Did you just, like... lip rim shot from you?
Yep.
Anyway, third story. Go ahead.
That was the third story.
I can count. Steve, thanks so much for the update. Speaking of mathnasium. Anyway, 6728 on News Radio 92.3. Good morning, Andrew. Happy Monday. What do you think about the idea that Trump knows the liberals will not get on board with funding the Trump-class battleships, so he's proposing this outrageous project just to say they're trying to keep America weak? Well, the problem is that... when you consistently put forth absurdity, you do catch your opponents, but you also catch sort of reasonable people who would otherwise like to agree with you. And you kind of make it a hazing ritual where people have to continually submerge their sense of reason and reality and fact in order to stay on your side. And they do. I mean, there are people out there posting these ridiculous things about how Trump's right about this and Trump's right about this and Trump's right, when, you know, either he lies or gets the facts wrong or he proposes some absurd thing like this battleship program. And he's constantly forcing you to either retain your sort of critical thinking apparatus, which is what I want you to do, or join him in la-la crazy land as a loyalty test. Oh, that Andrew McKay, he's a rhino because he didn't join Trump. No, I'm, like, loyal to reason and fact. And so I don't join him in this. You know, I reserve the right to agree with him when he's right, just like I reserve the right to agree with Biden when he was right, or Clinton, or Bush, or Obama, or any. And I reserve the right to disagree when they're wrong. But he's constantly dividing the world into the people who are on his side, no matter what insanity he spouts, or the people who aren't really Republicans because they disagree with him. How about we can be really Republicans who just disagree with them? Can we do that? 729 on News Radio 92.3. Let's see. I feel more connected to our communities because of you guys' morning show and community interaction. Oh, you're the Just so sweet. They actually did invent the rail gun, but the barrels after about 30 shots were out and it was just not feasible. Oh, no, you're right. There are elements of the rail gun that we can do, but it's things like power source, you know, having enough power and the physics of the machine when it's worked many times. No, you're right. I mean, it's not a completely impossible idea. It's genuinely a technology we haven't done yet. And like most amazing technologies, having not done it yet doesn't mean you can't do it. But he's just saying that we're going to roll out in the next 2 years a brand new platform cheaply, rapidly, with all of these as yet untested, undeployable weaponry. I mean, it's the giant shiny unicorn with plate armor that shoots missiles out of its butt. I mean, it's nonsense. And should I take him seriously when he spouts nonsense?
Pelosi, President Trump is set to host Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Florida. It comes on the heels of a major meeting yesterday with Ukrainian President Zelensky, where President Trump remained optimistic about a deal with Russia.
Our meeting was excellent. We covered, somebody would say 95%. I don't know what percent, but we have made a lot of progress.
Winter weather is creating travel headaches for Americans during one of the biggest travel times of the holiday season. More than 40 million across the Midwest and Northeast under alerts this week. Fox Business's Kelly Saberi at Chicago O'Hare Airport.
Now, there was weather across the country from Atlanta to Minneapolis. These were some of the airports that were most affected yesterday. Now, if we take a look at what's going on today, the airports that were in the most rough shape yesterday continue to be that way.
America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 right now, 64 degrees with a few showers in the area. I'm Steve Taylor for the Vacationing David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. A five-vehicle pileup on the Lillian Bridge has renewed calls for safety improvements on that notoriously dangerous roadway. The crash happened last Thursday night about 11:35, injuring 10 people, three of them seriously. A Georgia driver crossed the center line in heavy fog, hitting a pickup truck head-on, which triggered a chain reaction. The Florida Highway Patrol is investigating the cause still, but for the rest residents and business owners nearby, the message is clear. Something needs to change. Crazy Horse Cafe manager Shelley Birch told Channel 3.
I'd say within a mile from Crazy Horse, either direction, there's probably a wreck every other day.
She says accidents happen basically every other day on that stretch of road, and she's pushing for warning signs or caution lights to alert drivers to the bridge's frequent fog and sharp curve. A broken water main on North Blue Angel Parkway on Christmas Eve left more than 100 customers without water during the holiday. The 18-inch main and 6-inch tie-in both failed due to pipe fatigue in the Southwood subdivision. Emerald Coast Utilities Authority restored the service on Christmas night, but issued a boil water notice Friday morning, which has now been lifted. Bruce Woody, the executive director of ECUA, says the company did alert customers about the problem.
If there's any concern, first and foremost, the best place to check is on our website. On the opening page, we have an advisory. It's in bright red off to the right-hand side where we list any ongoing operations.
Again, that boil water notice has been lifted. A 19-year-old cantonment man was arrested under Florida's super speeder law after allegedly reaching about 124 miles an hour on I-10 in Escambia County. Aiden Michael Lewis was driving a 2003 Nissan 350Z. He reportedly raced another vehicle in a 65-mile-an-hour zone. A Florida Highway Patrol trooper clocked him in northbound on I-110 near Fairfield as he overtook the other car. Lewis told officers he was enticed by a blue BMW to race. The trooper described the incident as a, quote, wanton disregard to the motoring public in the arrest report. It's another busy day as the travel rush continues while the North and Midwest are dealing with winter weather. Here in Pensacola, no snow but a few flight delays. Looking at arrivals, I see 4 delays, and for departures, 1 cancellation and 1 delay. Check with the airline before heading to the airport. Let's check our forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing a cool down as we go into the rest of your mornings. Temperatures starting off warmer than they will be in the afternoon. Highs today, this afternoon, into the 50s, partly cloudy skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures are going to be dropping quite a bit, around 32 degrees. As you head into Tuesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 49. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping back into the 30s, near 33 degrees. We'll keep the sunshine around on Wednesday with a high near 52 degrees and a low near 41. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. Right now, let's check in with John Pickens for traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 look good. Seeing some minor delays on Highway 29 southbound as you approach 9 Mile Road, but other than that, Everything looks good. John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks, John. Right now, 64 degrees in Pensacola. It's cooling down. 65 in Gulf Breeze and 60 in Milton at 7:34. Next news is at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with your money now. Zepto has quietly filed for a roughly $1.2 billion IPO amid intensifying competition in India's quick commerce market. Data says that Zepto was valued at $7 billion during its last funding round in October. China plans to restrict artificial intelligence-powered chatbots from influencing human emotions in ways that could lead to suicide or self-harm. The proposed regulations from the Cyberspace Administration target what it calls human-like interactive AI services. Coupang pledges nearly $1.2 billion in vouchers after a major user data breach. Former customers are also eligible, expanding the scope of compensation. Voucher eligibility checks begin January 15th as scrutiny of the breach grows. Futures are slightly lower. Friday, the Dow Industrials lost 20. The NASDAQ also down 20. The S&P 500 down 2. Once again, futures are slightly lower. Friday, the Dow Industrials lost 20. That's your money now.
Party down with a big bang as Shelton Fireworks celebrates being in business for 50 years. They're located on I-10 at Exit 53. That's the first Alabama exit in Robertsdale, Alabama. Shelton's has the world's largest selection with over 35,000 square feet of fireworks. They have the largest finale cakes and the largest mortars legal in the USA. If it goes boom, Shelton's got it. Located on I-10 at Exit 53. That's the first Alabama exit in Robertsdale, Alabama. For more info, go to sheltonsfireworks.com. Shelton's Fireworks, home of the big ones.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction Wednesday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
As a mom, comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks VapoStick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks Vapors in an easy-to-apply stick, and it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself and my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick, soothing comfort for the whole family. And try Vicks VapoShower Max for steamy Vicks Vapors when you need more comfort for yourself. Use as directed.
Exciting news! The News Radio Pensacola app has just been updated with a fresh new look. Now it's easier than ever to stay connected with our community. Check the weather. Get instant access to local news stores.
The city appears to be ready.
Engaging podcasts. And various streaming options. All at your fingertips. Whether you're at home, on the go, or anywhere in between, our app keeps you informed and engaged. Download the updated News Radio Pensacola app today.
From News Radio 92.3.
Informative. Local. Dependable.
I'm a chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and a radio.
Yeah, I've only heard this this song, what, maybe 100 times now, and a pair of jeans that fit just right. I don't think I've ever had a pair of jeans that fit just right in the way he means. I like them loose. I mean, I want them comfortable, but fit just right to show me off has never been my goal, whatever that has to do with anything. Joining us now by phone, much, I'm sure, to his chagrin, Jimmy Patronis, our congressman for Florida's 1st District. Congressman, welcome back, sir. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
You should get some of those elastic jeans. Do you get any of those for Christmas?
Oh, God, no.
Those jeans that, you know, they fit no matter what. They just stretch into place.
There's nobody asking for Andrew in elastic jeans. No, nobody wants that. Not anybody. Hey, so I just kind of an odd question, but like, okay, it's Christmas and New Year's. You're obviously doing this show with me, which means you're working. But you know, there's no votes for another week. You're not back in Congress for another week officially. What do you do during the holidays?
So, well, our congressional offices are open. We're still solving constituent problems. Problems don't stop. People's needs don't stop. And government needs to be responsive. So, you know, try to juggle what we need to do for our families, at, you know, to make sure they have a good Christmas. At the same time, just keep on answering the phones, responding to the emails, and making the meetings. You know, votes will be next week.
So, yeah, it just makes sense. I mean, as you said, constituent needs don't stop. In fact, you know, the police will tell you that there's always constituent needs, right? That's always something you got to deal with. So, interesting. I've never worked in Congress. I've always been kind of curious, you know, in the off time, so to speak. You are also working a little bit on social media stuff, right? That's still something that you're kind of thinking about, which I know we all are. We're all thinking about not just AI, but social media, the effect that it has on our kids, which is all, as far as I can tell, almost universally negative. But what are you working on?
Look, I don't think I want an Australian state, here in the United States. I think social media definitely has a role. It has become the go-to for people at so many different levels for their knowledge. I mean, how do you find out about an obituary now anymore? You go to social media, you don't see it because nobody prints a newspaper anymore. So, I mean, it's got an important role. But what's happened with our kids? These devices and social media has become so sticky that, you know, you can't divorce your child from this stuff. It's like a digital fentanyl. And I've used that term with you before, but the social media companies, they're not being good partners. You know, I roll my eyes when I see, you know, Instagram run TV ads, say, tell Congress to pass the SAFE Act or whatever they call that stupid legislation to protect those under age 13. Well, Instagram, Meta, you can do that right now without a law.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, so I think they give themselves this air cover as they're just printing money, you know, keeping our kids addicted to devices. I want some parent empowerment. You know what? I mean, and really, it maybe should be maybe just focused on just Google and Apple because they're down 1,000% of the market share. You know, just guys, give mom and dad the ability to just have an off switch. You know what? Don't make me have to go take a computer course to learn how to use the parental settings in a way to make it easy to keep my kid off of TikTok or Instagram or Twitter or Facebook or Snapchat. I mean, it's a hot button subject for me because I'm a parent.
Yeah.
And I think there's other parents that probably feel the same way. I just like to have it easy. These are the apps, click, 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 that I don't want on my child's phone, and done. But you know what? It's very lucrative for those companies to have a presence in our kids' hands. It drives the G.I. Joe toys of our childhood.
You know, I think I'm very much with you in the reluctance to have government solve this problem. I hate the idea of government stepping in and controlling what is essentially a speech mechanism. I hate the idea of trusting the government as the solver of last resort, which is always what it should only be. And yet, I'm with you. I see what the effect that it has on kids. I see their inability to stop. I see, and not just the bullying, not just the porn and the, you know, bad stuff that's on there, but the thing itself, you know, the technology in addition to the content. And I'm sold. I think that it's going to be 5 or 10 or 20 years from now, and people are going to look back at us letting our kids use smartphones the way we look back at people giving their kids laudanum and cocaine and, you know, think, what in the world were you thinking? It just,
sure.
to me, I mean, if Jimmy Patronis proposes a law that says, you know, no smartphones for anybody under the age of 18, I'll support you. And if you say, you know, no social media for people under the age of 18, I'll support you. Because I think it's that bad. It's that harmful and contagious and addictive and problematic. I mean, that's where I'm at.
Well, you nailed it when you spoke to it in the same context as illicit drugs. It does have a effect on the developing minds. Now, look, I've been a curious parent. You know, my son has put his phone down. I've gone and I've flipped through his history. And look, he's looking at innocent stuff. They're obsessed with sports. Mm-hmm. You know, so I look at some of the stuff that he's looked at. But the problem is he won't put the dang thing down. And, you know, and there's good days and bad days. And I like the good days where, you know, we go out and we leave our phones in the car. And, you know, it's kind of crazy. I mean, I just look at when I was a child and this was never a problem. But, you know, but it's different days right now. I mean, at our age, it was more dealing with the TV. Now the TV is where us wherever we go.
Yeah, and I mean, same, you know, same set of concerns raised about the television, and I think we turned out sort of okay. I'm not sure great, but we turned out okay. But you're seeing it so much earlier, so much more dangerously applied when it comes to social media. I don't know how to tone it down. So my reaction is to just turn it off, you know, and is there any way to make it safe? And if there's no way to make it safe, then maybe what you need to do is just make it not happen. And I'm willing to be the bad guy. I don't know that the parents are going to be willing to be the bad guys enough, you know, frankly. And I hate to have to say it that way, too. But it's like when, you know, kids are not allowed to have their smartphones at school, you know, largely because the school has to step in and say, well, we'll be the government because you won't be. I hate that reaction, but I understand where it's coming from, too. We're talking to Jimmy Petronas. He is our congressman from Florida, Northwest Florida District 1. Hang on for just a second, Jimmy. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much. John, back to Jimmy Petronas. So is this a bill you're working on, or are you just kind of thinking about these things? And, you know, I'm sure you have an office full of people who are young adults and don't have kids, and young adults who do have kids, and all the mixture of perspectives that they have on social media.
That's exactly right. So, I mean, the guys know this is something I want to do. And you know, it look, you're picking a fight with an 800-pound gorilla, 1,000-pound gorilla. I mean, this is a big deal. But you know, I think our kids are worth it. The good thing about it, a lot of times when you go and you propose legislation like this, of course, you get the social media companies' attention. A lot of times they'll react and roll out solutions without you even passing the law. And, you know, and this is fine by me. Just be somewhat proactive. Look, we're done with Christmas. You're not driving the Christmas holiday, you know, purchases anymore. Let's sit down. There's a lot of new devices that we're giving out for Christmas. Let's try to, you know, help people, you know, manage their addiction. So
Are we going to get anything on health and like what's going to happen on health insurance this month? I mean, because you and I've talked about this a bunch, and I don't frankly know what's going to happen other than for most everybody, it's going to be pretty rough. But what do you think is actually going to happen, especially when the deadline comes due in a couple weeks?
So we've been trying to pass the standalone appropriations bills. There's 12 of them. And so you've heard of omnibus. Well, back in this past fall, we passed a minibus, which was, you know, three appropriations bills all tied together, you know, where we did, like, you know, the defense issues and all that stuff. So the Senate is continuing to push a package of appropriations bills of those 12 back to the House. As we are able to get more of those appropriations bills off the table, as we are able to do our job and fund the government, you know, then it allows us to be able to sit down and still work on the healthcare issues. Now, the subsidy, I'm a big proponent. I did some TV yesterday, and I love the Rick Scott plan, and where Rick Scott wants to say, you know, don't give the subsidies directly to the insurance companies is what's happened with Obamacare. Obamacare is a massive failure, but let's go and give those dollars that were subsidies back to the policyholders in the form of a health savings account and let them go and have the purchasing power in their own hands. Now, what will happen is the carriers in the private sector will get aggressive. They'll start competing against each other as they try to fight for those policyholders to make their healthcare home with whichever company is able to win them over. But if you give people a budget, then they'll have to shop for that budget, and then, you know, those companies will get, you know, a sharper pencil. So I think this is still where I'd like to go. The problem we've got is you've got blue state Republicans that are worried about the reelection, and they really just want to kick the can down the field, kick the can down the road, and like to have another 2 years of just blanket subsidies to the carriers, and just take the easy way out. And I'm of the mindset I want our dollars to be used in the most effective way possible. They're precious.
No, I agreed, and I get the politics of it are very thorny, especially for, as you say, the blue state Republicans. But man, just, you know, we can't go on like we are, and we can't seem to be willing to make a change. And so I don't know what the solution is in between there. But
well, and those blue state Republicans, they've already expanded Medicaid in those states.
Right.
I mean, I'm not trying to get into the weeds on health care policy, but Florida, we did not. Florida, we have been, you know, trying to just aggressively live within our means, not be foreverly attached to some government subsidy. And you know what? Things are actually pretty good in Florida. You know, so I mean, but those other states, they've created these monsters in the expansion of Medicaid. Their problems with the healthcare system is something that they're not easy tasks, but they've got to be dealt with.
Which was part of the warning that Republicans in Florida and elsewhere made about taking the expanded Medicaid, you know, is that it would eventually cost us more and we'd become a slave to the thing that we're looking to get a benefit from. Hey,
1,000%.
Switching gears a little bit to some military things. Pentagon fails its 8th audit. You were the CFO of the state of Florida. Do you think there's any realistic world in which we get a clean audit by 2028? Like the, I think the NDAA actually requires that, and the president's saying it's going to happen. But I mean, it's every time they look under the hood, it's just like, I mean, it's a complete mess. What do you think?
You know, I think it just depends on how much the president pushes and forces. We're going to be advocating for it. I would love to see it happen. And even if you chip away at it through you know, some type of a systematic way, but getting up under the hood and seeing how those dollars are being spent, you know, I'm scratching my head. I look at what happened with Homeland Security, and there was right after the government got reopened, Kristi Noem started giving out $10,000 checks to TSA workers. And I'm thinking, well, I didn't appropriate $10,000 checks. So I did some digging. Turns out if an agency head has the ability to save money through, you know, better contract management, then that agency gets to spend. Well, she's got billions of dollars that she has been able to effectively save by revisiting these contracts. I mean, good for the taxpayers. But, you know, I feel like, you know, I want to get more of that out in the open to find out what type of savings is still sitting in these different various federal agencies. I mean, it's almost like a discretionary fund by these agency heads. But, I mean, can we not carve that back and do debt service with it?
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean,
That's how I look at, like, the subsidy, the tariff, you know, subsidy. I'm like, just pay down the debt or at least pay off the deficit. You know, something. Get me less of the horrible mess that keeps growing. I'm with you. And that makes sense. If it's so easy to find the slush at DHS, well, let's find the slush everywhere, you know, and then let's use that more productively instead of just giving it away as you know, payouts or something like that.
Can you imagine what you could find at the Pentagon?
Oh, my God. It's you know? Horrifying to imagine. Which, I spent a lot of time this morning talking about the battleship thing. I mean, Jimmy, he's not really going to try to build a battleship with lasers and rail guns and hypersonics, right? I mean, what is this?
I think some of it is real. Okay, I do know that the president is truly committed to bring back U.S. shipbuilding, and whatever it takes to be, you know, more so in the driver's seat and less dependent on international partners, and sometimes it's enemies or adversaries that are advanced in the shipbuilding business. We've got to do something. So, I mean, this is where the president is starting to, you know, engage and float ideas to try to see if we can build. I mean, there's everybody's a buzz about shipbuilding, including, you know, establishing shipbuilding right in Pensacola.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a real issue. It's also a real vulnerability we have as a nation.
Oh, no, totally agree. And by the way, I completely agree with that, investing in shipbuilding. But based on the last three major systems that the Navy has completely, you know, they Charlie Brown the football on all three of them, the Zumwalt, the Constellation, and the LCSs. I'm of the mind that, you know, what we don't need is brand new big platforms. What we need is more diversity in our creation of existing, you know, good ones that work like the Arleigh Burke class, for example.
LCS was, you know, I toured the last commissioned one, and you know, it really had some pretty innovative bells and whistles to it. But, you know, I think the biggest criticism, you know, it's an aluminum ship. And the Navy just, I don't think they yeehaw with aluminum ships. You know, it had a lot of neat technology integrated into it. Sound like a very versatile ship, but, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, no, very. And by the way, heard you as the first time you got to do speaker pro tem. So that was kind of fun to listen to you do that. Was that exciting?
Yeah. Well, I've done it a few times, but it was funny. It was where they were in a panic is it was debating the healthcare bill. So, you know, they were scrambling. They needed to get somebody there to run the chamber. And so I'm running the chamber when Hakeem Jeffries is up there running his mouth.
Saw that one. That made me laugh.
Yeah. So, but it's, look, the debate is very structured. And really, it's very structured in Florida, too.
Of course.
But in Florida, it's a hell of a lot more combative.
Oh yeah, in a lot of ways it's more interesting. Jimmy, we're completely out of time. Thank you for time in the gap between Christmas and New Year's. I appreciate it. We'll speak to you next week when it'll be the new year. Good to talk to you. We'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you next year. See you
next year. Thank you very much, John Pickens. That's Traffic on the Fives. John,
that's right. Still rolling accident free right now. Even delay free. I'm not seeing anything to slow you down. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
The average checking account pays less than a tenth of a percent. PenAir Credit Union's high-yield checking? 5.05% APY. That's more than most savings accounts, and 70 times more than any old checking account. Make every deposit count. Learn more at penair.org/checking. Federally insured by NCUA, PenAir's high-yield checking account pays up to 5.05% annual percentage yield with e-statements and a monthly ACH deposit of $250 or more.
This holiday season, whether you're shopping for clients, coworkers, or loved ones, Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze makes gift-giving easy and memorable. From custom apparel and drinkware to unique holiday gifts and decor, you'll find the perfect way to show your appreciation and spread cheer. Make your gifts stand out with personal touches and professional quality, all from your local experts at Prim and Proper. Visit them at 336 Gulf Breeze Parkway or primandproper.com.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Searching for a boy in high school is as useless as searching for meaning in a Pauly Shore movie.
Don't give up when your heart is weary. Don't give up when your eyes are teary. Don't give up when your voice is trembling. When your life needs mending. Don't
you know this, John?
No, but I love it.
Michael Franti, I think I'm saying his name right. He's some, like, sort of political activist or something, but I just love the sound.
With my heart open, for a brighter day.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I could listen to that for a while. Anyway, yeah. I think he's been around. He's not brand new or anything, but I just kind of discovered him the other day. I get a lot of the new music that I listen to comes from movies I've seen or TV shows, and they've got it, and I'm like, oh, that's good. I can use that for a bumper and then go exploring this artist and find a whole new somebody to like. Let's see. We got David Wayne is out for the week. We've got Steve Taylor with our headlines. Steve?
Well, President Trump and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky say progress is being made towards a peace deal with Russia. Trump says he believes a peace deal is getting a lot closer, adding that a lot of progress has been made while saying there are one or two very thorny issues remaining. NASA's new administrator, Jared Isaacman, says the U.S. will be back to the moon before the end of Donald Trump's second term in office. He says that the lunar exploration is critical to unlocking what he calls the orbital economy. A potential bomb cyclone is bringing snow to the upper Midwest. A blizzard warning is in effect for Michigan, Minnesota, North Dakota, and Wisconsin, and also Iowa, where the guy who is normally here in this chair in the newsroom, David Wayne, is now enjoying his vacation. Snowfall up there could range from 6 inches to as much as 2 feet around the Great Lakes, and that's what's happening.
Reverse snowbirding, David Wayne. All right, Steve, thanks so much for the update. 7:59 on News Radio 92.3. Did you see the story about this woman who had gotten $100,000 plus in fines from her local city because she parks like on her driveway and a little bit on the grass sometimes, $250 a day, and the Florida State Supreme Court decided they did not want to take up her appeal to them, and so now she owes, it's over $100,000 that she owes. Yeah, it's crazy. She's been protesting this all along. There's actually a law in Florida against excessive municipal fining or whatever. But yeah, it's $165,000 that she owes since 2021 because she parks cars in her own driveway with the tires occasionally on the lawn. Wow.